Father, we come before you to seek your advice, your encouragement, your challenges in our lives, to seek you. And I pray that through this time of communion and looking into your word, that indeed we are seeking you. If we're not Christians, that we're seeking you to find out more about you, to learn how to be born again. If we are Christians, Lord, to seek you to find out how to serve you more, to be stronger in our faith. Lord, I pray that you would build that within us as we listen, and as we especially listen to your Spirit. Open our hearts now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This song is talks a lot about the cross and the power of the cross, and that's what this song is, so let's go ahead.
Took the blame. for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death. Life is mine to live. Won through your selfless love. Lift the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cup we stand forgiven at the cross.
I guess I just can't seem to get through that without cracking up a little bit. Sometimes, you know, pastors get writer's block. And you just kind of wonder what kind of a sermon, what to share, what inspiration, where to go. So my wise wife said, take a walk in the woods. I'll take care of anything here. You just take a walk and get some inspiration. Get alone with the Lord. And so I did. Now I'm going to tear up some more. But as I walk through the woods, it is just an amazing thing. Not only creation itself, you know, we're not going to do a creation moment because of communion and all, but creation itself is just amazing. As you walk through the woods and you see each plant that's out there, the varieties of plants, they're not all the same. The trees are different. The bark is different. You can tell a lot of times what a tree is just by the bark. But then you can look up at the leaves and you see these trees just reaching for the heavens to gain that light to supply the leaves with, I went to science class, chlorophyll, and it translates it into food for the tree to grow. And you look at these trees and you just are amazed at all that. And then as I, of course, you know, mosquitoes are all part of that. We don't like that, but they are. And so I found a nice sunny spot and I sat down and just sat and said, okay, Lord, I'm waiting. Because, you know, we want stuff now. You know, let's get with it, Lord. You know, give it to me now. You know, hit me with it, you know. And it wasn't like that. And I couldn't help but remember the scriptures about Elijah and, you know, all the different things that happened. You know, the thunder and the earthquake and this and that. And Elijah was looking for God and all that. And then all of a sudden it was this breeze that came along and came to Elijah, and that's where the voice of God was. And so when I was sat there, I saw the wind blow through the trees. It just came out of nowhere and just blew the trees, and the leaves were waving around and the trees were waving back and forth. They're thinking, you know, I'm looking for those branches, you know, the widow makers. So making sure I'm not around any of that. And I should have worn my hard hat walking in the woods. But you know, I remembered there was this verse in the scripture and it talked about the wind blowing and we don't know where it comes from or where it goes. And I want us to go there because, yes, I found it. It's in chapter 3 of John. Now, we've all probably read through John chapter 3, and especially 3:16. But we're going to look at more of this scripture. 16:17 in your pew Bibles, if you're looking for a page number. 16:17 in the pew Bibles, John chapter 3. And look at just verse 8 to start out with. Because this is what I remembered about the scriptures. Okay. So, in verse 8 it says, the wind blows wherever it pleases, you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Well, that last part threw me after I, you know, because I remembered the first part of the verse about the wind blowing and you don't know where it comes from and where it goes, but I didn't remember that it's so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And I thought, what in the world does he mean by that? You know, are we going to be blown all over the place like leaves? What is it? And so really to understand it, we got to look at the context of the Scriptures. And so we go back to chapter 3, verse 1. We go back to the first part of the chapter. And here we find a Pharisee named Nicodemus who comes to Jesus. Now, we've probably heard the story, but I'm going to share it more briefly. But this man is part of the Pharisee group, you know, the ones that were trying to kill Jesus, right? And also, it says that he's a member of the Jewish ruling council. So he's on the Sanhedrin also. And that was the same group that took Jesus to the court and had him stand in front of them. And then they went through all this stuff. And then the Sanhedrin pronounced Jesus guilty of trying to be God, you know, heresy. So Nicodemus was on these. But he comes to Jesus in the night. Now, we know that he came to Jesus in the night because, you know, he didn't want the rest of his colleagues to see him. There's peer pressure. You know, even when you're an adult, you feel that. And so he's coming to Jesus at night because he sees something different about him. And look at verse 2, where it says, he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, which is an honorable title, teacher or Lord, you know, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. The first thing I want you to draw your attention to is it says, we know. You know, it's not I know. It was we know. So there was other guys on the council, the Pharisees, in that group that saw that Jesus was something different. And so Nicodemus, maybe he was sent by them, or maybe he just was curious. But, you know, the other thing I want us to understand is that Nicodemus, even though he came at night, even though he was a little hesitant about going out there, he was seeking. He sought Jesus. And he wanted to find out more about him. And so Jesus entertains him, you know, with the answers to his questions. First of all, Jesus says in verse 3, I tell you the truth. Now, you know, he could have started with something else. Why did he say this? You know, he says, we know you're from God, and if God were not with you, you're something special. And then Jesus hits him right with the gospel, basically. Doesn't even beat around the bush or have a little, you know, casual talk or anything. You know, hey, pretty nice night out here. And, you know, he just says, hey, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, Nicodemus, you think he's a pretty smart guy. And so he answers, how can a man be born again when he's old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Now, there's a little more to that than what he just said. You read between the lines a little bit, because he's a Pharisee. He's like Paul. Remember when Paul talked about who he was? He said, hey, I'm a Jew's Jew. I'm a Pharisee. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was, you know, I mean, bang, bang, bang. It goes through the whole thing. And I'm a Jew's Jew. I'm the top of the line. I'm the best of the best. But I count it all rubbish except for Christ. And so here Nicodemus is basically thinking the same thing. He's going, hey, I was already born a Jew. That means I'm one of God's special people. I'm special to God. Not only that, but I'm a Pharisee. You can't get much better than that. And I'm on the Jewish council. You know what? That's icing on the cake. I'm the tough guy. I'm the guy that's on top. If anybody is going to heaven and going to see the kingdom, me. I got it all. I'm doing everything. But Jesus said, you won't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. That shook him up a little bit. Now, what do I have to do? Do I have to go back into my mother's womb? You know, how do I do this? How do I get born again? How do I obtain this key to get into the kingdom of heaven? Well, Jesus goes on a little bit more. He says, no one can enter the kingdom, in verse 5, of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised. You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So now we get a little more clear understanding. We realize that the Spirit comes and goes. We don't know where and how. He comes to an individual and that person who's believing, that one who's seeking. The Spirit comes. I don't know where he came from. You don't see him. But all of a sudden that person is given a life that's beyond this life. Now, what did he mean exactly when he said, you know, unless you're born of water and the Spirit? First of all, you know, I think of it very simply. Verse 6 gives us the hint. Flesh gives birth to flesh. But how are we born? Oh, my water broke. I better go to the doctor. Born of the water. You're born a human being. First of all, you got to be born the first time. If you're not a human being, if you're not born, you can't be born again. So that's the first birth, is born into the human race, into mankind. And then it says, Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Now, if you want to be born again, you have to be born through the Spirit. So what exactly? You know, first of all, I really want to go to this other scripture because it emphasizes this flesh and Spirit thing. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1750 in your pew Bibles, just so we get a little more understanding of flesh and spirit kind of thing. Verse 15, or chapter 15, starting verse 42, 1750 in the pew Bibles, starting verse 42. Paul is talking about the resurrection of the dead. So we get a little more insight into the spiritual and the physical. He says in verse 42, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, that's my flesh. It is raised imperishable, that's the Spirit. It is sown in dishonor, raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Okay? So, there's where we get the separation now. We got the physical body that's going to die. We got the spiritual body that is not going to die. And at the resurrection, we will be given a spiritual body to go along with our spirit, our eternal spirit. Now, you know, this wind that moves is spiritual. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit moves, and we really don't have a clue where he's coming from or where he's going or all of. I mean, we're in the dark with a lot of these things. But the Spirit moves through us as he wills. And he you know, the other thing that's really kind of cool about this is as I was sitting there, and you know, I'm sitting in the sun, so it's starting to get warm. And when that breeze kicked up, all of a sudden it's like, oh, refreshing. It's just like the Spirit that renews us, that cools us, that gives us that sense. He's right there. He's right with us. You know, we know it because of that spiritual insight. Now there's things I don't know physically. You know, I look around and I just don't know about some things. I know as I get older, I feel this perishable and dishonor and weakness and natural stuff. You know, I feel that. My knees, you know, my fingers, my arms, my neck, my, you know, I used to be, you pump weight and a couple hours you're back to normal again. Now it's like overnight and in the morning you get up and, oh man, I shouldn't have worked that hard. You know, it's just like that our bodies are failing, aren't they? You know, but according to the Bible here, we're going to be raised in power. We're going to be raised in glory. We're going to be raised imperishable. We're going to be raised a spiritual body. These things will not harass us any longer. Born again. You must be born again. So, it separates from the physical and it's only spiritual. It's this release, this commitment to God in the spiritual realm. It's giving your life to Him. It's a born again situation. You're born once, you're born twice spiritually. If you don't have that, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. You will not be in heaven. You're going to be separated from God eternally. All through this life, from Adam and Eve all the way to the present, sins have been committed. We're here to celebrate communion. And communion represents Christ's sacrifice for us. A sacrifice that allows us to be born again. Without His sacrifice, without His coming to this planet and paying for the price of sin, we would have no born again. We'd be born in the flesh and die in the flesh. But Jesus came to pay the price of all sins for all time. Not only did He pay the sins of from Adam and Eve up to this present time, but He also paid the sins for the future. Future generations that will come to be. What is the difference then? Why doesn't everybody get to heaven then? Because they're not born again. You must be born again. If you haven't stepped across that line, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're at risk. You know, it seems kind of weird because all the sins have been paid for. Everything's been done for you. It's kind of like, you know, somebody says, here's the keys to a brand new car. It's in this garage. All you have to do is go and get it. And you put the keys in your pocket and you say, man, that is so cool. I got a car. Brand new. It's in that garage. But you never go get it. You never drive it. You never take it out. People would look at you and say, are you nuts? Are you crazy? Why aren't you going and using the car? Oh, you know, I got it. It's in my pocket. Keys. Yeah, I own it. And there's so many people that say, oh yeah, I believe in God. Yeah. Okay. Do you believe in Jesus as your Savior? Oh, no, That's a little too much. But I got God in my pocket, and everything's good. No, it's not. You must be born again. The price has been paid. Everything's been done. All you need to do is receive it. Accept Him as your Savior. So I'd like to take that moment. I'd like us to bow our heads before, as we prepare for communion. And I'd like us to consider our spiritual estate. And have you been born again? Have you trusted Christ with your life? So let's bow our heads and think about that. Now, Father, as we prepare our hearts for communion, I pray that each one of us is asking that question. Am I born again? Lord, I pray that if it's no, or if it's I don't want to hear that, or maybe it's I'm not ready, I pray that you prepare our hearts. Help us to see and seek. Lord, if all our lives we run through hearing about you, hearing about other things, hearing about, you know, born again, and sometimes we just kind of get upset. We get tired of hearing it. Maybe we don't want to hear it. But Lord, I pray that today we hear it. Today we respond. Because we don't know what's going to happen when we step out this door. We don't know where you're going to take us, what kind of things might happen to us. And so, Lord, today, now is the time. I pray if somebody hasn't accepted you as Savior, that they just pray, Lord, I need you in my life. Lord, I accept you and your gift of forgiveness. Lord, I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit, that you will give me that new birth so that I can be part of the kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you would just build that within each person here. Even us who have been Christians for a while, Lord, build that excitement that you did things that are just awesome, that you have given us eternal life. How great is that? We ask as we look at the communion, the bread and the cup and all the elements that are involved in that, Lord, that we might remember that truly you gave your life so that we could have life. We pray now for your blessings on this time now as we take communion together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.